accepts it, then the devotee is promoted to Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. Brahma drew the Lord's attention to this subject and requested that he release Bali Maharaj, who was suffering, being bound by the ropes of Varuna, and who had already given everything, including the three worlds and whatever he possessed. Om jnana timirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshuran nirtamina tasmai shri gurave namaha yat parayora shatadhi salilam pradaya dhurvankure rapi vidhaya satim saparyam apyuttamam vitimasau bhajate trilokim bhashvana viklavamana katemartim richchet. By offering even water, newly grown grass, or flower buds at your lotus feet, those who maintain no mental duplicity can achieve the most exalted position within the spiritual world. This Bali Maharaj, without duplicity, has now offered everything in the three worlds. How then can he deserve to suffer from arrest? This whole pastime of Bali Maharaj and Vamanadeva is full of many lessons. One thing we might note is how many great personalities are involved in this. Mahajans. Bali Maharaj is a Mahajan. And Lord Brahma is a Mahajan. Prahlad Maharaj is a Mahajan. So you have those three present there, personally present. So obviously the katha is going to be of a very high level. And then it's also spoken by a Mahajan, Shukadeva Goswami. So we have four of the Mahajans involved in this. You know how sometimes the narrator changes back and forth, or we have different levels of narration. But in this particular chapter, this is Shukadeva Goswami speaking directly. And of course, he's speaking to Parikshit Maharaj. Now, Parikshit Maharaj isn't listed as a Mahajan, but he comes up in another list, which some of these other personalities also appear on. That's the list of those who are the exemplars of the different processes of devotional service, the nine processes of devotional service. Sri Vishnu, Shravane, Parikshit. In fact, it begins with Parikshit Maharaj because he was perfect, became perfect by hearing. Now we can understand when we hear this list that obviously it's very hard to do just one thing because they're mixed. When you're hearing, you're also thinking, you're remembering, and so on. But especially, they're highlighting in their activity how one can become perfect by one of the nine processes of devotional service. So Parikshit Maharaj is the exemplar of hearing, Shravanam Vishnu. Sri Vishnu Shravane Parikshit Abhavad Vyasaki Kirtane. Vyasaki is Shukadeva Goswami, the son of Vyasadeva. So he attained his perfection through chanting, kirtan. Kirtan means glorification. So it means chanting or reciting. So by reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam to Maharaj Parikshit, he became perfect. Or he showed that one can become perfect in this way. Sri Vishnu Shravane Parikshit Abhavad Vyasaki Kirtane. Prahlada Smarane. So then we have Prahlad, who is present here. Prahlad is one of the exalted ancestors in this line. You know, people live for a very, very long time in these times. So Prahlad is present here along with his grandson. So Prahlada Smarane. Prahlad shows the perfection of Smarane, remembering the Lord. Prahlad was, of course, tormented in so many ways, but he never forgot Krishna. Prahlada Smarane, Lakshmi Bhajane. Then Lakshmi is Padasevanam, worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord. That's Lakshmi Devi. She's always, we have this picture of Mahavishnu lying down and Lakshmi Devi is massaging his lotus feet. So this is Padasevanam, directly Padasevanam is sometimes considered to be deity worship also, but worshipping the lotus feet, Vishnu Shravane Parikshita Bodhvayaski Prahlada Smarane Tarangri Balira I'm forgetting what's the next one. Smarane, then Archanam. Oh, Archanam. Archanam is Akura. Akura is offering prayers to the Lord. When Akura arrived in Vrindavan, we have this beautiful chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam when Akura arrived in Vrindavan and he offered his prayers to the Lord. Akura Stapivandane Kapipatir. Then the Dasya. Dasyam Sakyam Atmanivedam, the last three in this list. Dasya is Hanuman. Kapipati, he's called. It means the master of the monkeys. Sakya Arjuna. And friendship, the emblem of friendship is Arjuna. And then finally, most relevant to the topic that we're speaking of now, Sarva Swatmanivedane Balir. So Bali Maharaj is famous for Atmanivedanam, surrendering everything. Sarvasva, this word comes up, I think, in two or three of the verses that we just read. Sarvasvam, yes. Sarvasvam comes up in the first two verses. So this was Lord Brahma's argument here. If you remember how this is unfolding, Lord Brahma had already begun to speak, or he was just getting ready to speak. Prahlad Maharaj has spoken, standing up for Bali Maharaj. He's standing up for what the Lord is doing, but he's also, in some ways, as this Prabhupada says, that Prahlad is asking for some mercy, asking him to be released, asking that Vamanadeva release Bali Maharaj. So Prahlad Maharaj has spoken, then Bali Maharaj, Lord Brahma was just getting ready to speak, but then Vindyavali, she was just too excited. She interrupted Lord Brahma. She was so fired up, she had to say something. She had something on her mind. So she just interrupted Lord Brahma. And then she spoke, and she basically said that, well, my husband is not very intelligent, actually. He still thinks that he owns his body. But then Brahma comes back, and now Brahma is speaking after she has her one verse. Then Lord Brahma comes in. So he comes in and he glorifies the Lord. We see this as the pattern of many prayers. When you're offering prayers to the Lord in many places, we see sometimes it goes on for verse after verse after verse before the devotee makes some kind of petition or request. So here we see that he mentions different characteristics of the Lord. Lord Brahma, he calls him Bhuta Bhavana. So Bhuta means the living entities. Bhavana means... Prabhupada translates it here, O Supreme Being, well-wisher of everyone, who can cause one to flourish. So somehow in the root of the Sanskrit, this idea apparently is present. Of course, this idea of bhu or bha means to give out, bhutva bhutva praliyate, the creation is created and then destroyed. So I guess that idea, you can see how it's sort of connected and giving, producing. So one can flourish. He causes others to flourish. Bhuta Bhavana. He causes the living entities to flourish. Of course, he provides everything. And he's also called Bhutesh, which is mentioned here. Which again, Bhuta, living entities, all living entities. He's also called Bhutatma. There's a many, actually, in the Vishnu Sahasranam, there's a section where there's a lot of names with Bhuta in it. So Krishna's relationship with the living entities is mentioned in different names that he has. So Bhutesh means Bhuta Isha, the Lord, the master of all living entities. And Deva, he is the worshipable deity of the demigods. So not just all living entities in general, but specifically even the demigods are so highly posted and worshipped by so many other living entities. He's their master. Jaganmaya. Then he's the all-pervading one, Jagat Maya. Really means the universe is, he composes the universe, or he pervades the universe. Muncha. So this is Lord Brahma's request, Muncha. Muncha means to release. Pada Sevana Munchati. There's a nice verse in the, I think it's the third canto. It says that one who comes to Krishna consciousness is like a traveler who and attains the lotus feet of the Lord is like a traveler who comes home after a troubled journey. So he never wants to leave. He feels so satisfied and refreshed. Now I've finally made it home. So Pada Mulam Namunchati, it said there, one who attains the lotus feet of Krishna, he never wants to release them, never wants to give them up. So this is this word muncha. So here it said that Lord Brahma is saying, release him. Why can't you release him? I think he's already done enough. Then there's a word that comes up, his attitude, aviklavaya, which is comes up in the verse that we recited. Aviklavaya, which means aviklava and aviklavaya, by this aviklava. This comes up in two verses also of the three that we read. It means without any duplicity. Bali Maharaj, he put his heart into his surrender to the Lord. He didn't have some kind of material calculation. It's interesting that Prabhupada says here about Lord Brahma. He says that Brahma asked for mercy for Prahlad Maharaj. He asked for his release on the grounds of worldly calculations. So apparently, the way Prabhupada is presenting this here, this was kind of a worldly calculation that he has. He's already given you everything, so what more can he give? You should just release him. He's already paid his debt. So probably this is kind of saying this is kind of like a worldly calculation. So he wasn't, but Bali Maharaj wasn't making a worldly calculation. And this is actually what he's going to be credited with. When we read this, we think, well, how's Krishna going to answer this? Basically, it seems like these devotees, they're almost challenging Lord Balanadev. It sounds like here, why do you have this person tied up? Why don't you release him? Look, he's already done this or that. Of course, they're petitioning on his behalf. They're Vaishnavas. The Vaishnavas can make requests of the Lord. So then what is he going to say? They're making these arguments. Why are you punishing him? And so how is the Lord going to respond? So first of all, of course, one point that has come up repeatedly is this idea that Krishna's one reason why he's doing this is that he takes away opulence for devotees. If they become distracted by it, then he takes it away. I'm going to skip ahead for a couple of verses. There's a couple of interesting things that Prabhupada says in some upcoming purports. Here's one you can see. It's very personal, Prabhupada is speaking. He says, if a special devotee is meant for preaching but does not give up his family life or material opulences to take to the service of the Lord surely takes away his material opulences and establishes him in devotional service. Thus the pure devotee becomes fully engaged in propagating Krishna consciousness. So this obviously sounds autobiographical. The way Prabhupada is talking about this. The devotee is meant for preaching, but he's attached. So Krishna takes it all away so he can fully propagate Krishna consciousness. So this is a point that has been made often in this section here about how Krishna takes everything away from a devotee. But there's another verse in text 26 that's coming up, which is quite interesting because this has been brought up repeatedly, this point. This is the special mercy, and this word has come up repeatedly. This is the Lord's special mercy. And Prabhupada often used this phrase, when Krishna takes everything away from the devotee, that's his special mercy. But then in text 26, Prabhupada says, the conclusion is that one's being deprived of his wealth is not to be considered the special mercy of the Lord. If one continues in his opulent position but does not become unnecessarily proud, falsely thinking that he is the proprietor of everything, this is the Lord's special mercy. So we can see this is the kind of thing where we sometimes talk about perfect, more perfect than most perfect. So obviously the word perfect means perfect. You can't get more perfect than perfect, but we use that phrase because in Krishna consciousness we have multi-dimensions, so we can perfect our perfections further. So here we see special mercy is to take everything away. Then Prabhupada takes that away. And he says, well, that's not really special mercy. The special mercy is when Krishna leaves the devotee with all the opulence. And if the devotee can handle it, that's Krishna's special mercy. Because it's actually Krishna's mercy to be able to act on that level of Krishna consciousness. Devotional service is a gift. We can't get it by our own means. It has to be given. It says at the beginning, the Vaishnava has to give it. The devotees have to give. Krishna's lotus feet. Then Krishna gives himself. We can't attain it as we can try to attain something in this world. Of course, anything we get in this world, we just think we're getting it on our own power. But this lesson is especially there in reference to Krishna. He has to give himself. So devotional service, what is the theme of the Srimad Bhagavatam? We can say there's an overriding theme of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's the glory of devotional service. People think so many other goals in life are so valuable and attractive. But the most valuable thing is the privilege, adhikar, seva adhikar diye, koro nijadasi, we pray in the Tulsi prayer, seva adhikar diye, give me the adhikar, the privilege of serving you, seva adhikar. There's nothing higher than that. It's a great privilege. It's a great blessing. So it's special mercy on the devotee if the devotee has devotional service to that extent, that kind of realization where the devotee can have all kinds of opulence and Krishna doesn't have to take it away. In fact, Krishna gives more. So it's special mercy on a certain level of devotee who needs a little push. But the real special mercy is for the devotee to be fully engaged in pure devotional service. So this kind of ties into how Krishna is going to answer, Lord Vamanadeva is going to answer this kind of challenge that he's receiving here. Prabhupada summarizes it in the beginning of the chapter summary. He says here, while Prahlad Maharaj was present, Lord Brahma and Bali's wife, Vindhyavali, described the supremacy of the Supreme Lord. This is how Prabhupada summarizes the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj, Lord Brahma, and Vindhyavali. They describe the supremacy of the Lord. Of course, they did something else also. Since Bali Maharaj had given everything to the Lord, they prayed for his release. So they glorified the Lord, then they prayed for his release. So how does the Lord respond? The Lord then described how a non-devotee's possession of wealth is a danger, whereas a devotee's opulence is a benediction from the Lord. Then, being pleased with Bali Maharaj, the Supreme Lord offered his disc to protect Bali Maharaj and promised to remain with him. So we'll see as the Lord explains his reasons for what he's doing here. Really, it comes down to a couple of things. One is that, basically, he says that most people are very, very attached to everything that they get. But Bali Maharaj showed that he wasn't attached. So what I'm doing here is I'm showing how great Bali Maharaj is. And another reason I've done all this is it's a kind of a test. And he has passed this test. So this ties back into when Prabhupada says that Lord Brahma was making a material calculation. So what Krishna was doing was transcendental rasa with his devotee. That's why he was doing what he was doing. It wasn't strictly according to some rules of karmakanda that you made a promise and you broke the promise. But it was more about, I'm punishing you because I want to glorify you. I want to focus attention on you, how great you are. I want people to know that you gave up everything. And even when I wasn't satisfied with that, still, you were without duplicity. You wanted to give everything. Even if you were incorrect in your thinking, that I still have your body, I still have my body, at least your heart was in the right place. You were thinking, what else can I give? So this is what Krishna is doing with Bali Maharaj. He's actually glorifying him. He's focusing the spotlight on him. So of course we see this whole, the interplay between the Lord and his devotees in different ways. Prahlad Maharaj, again, these are all Mahajans. So they understand intricacies of devotional service. In fact, in that section of the Bhagavatam where the Mahajans are mentioned, it says no one else knows the purport to the scriptures except these Mahajans. So at least they're the primary, they are the ones who give the primary instruction and others learn from them. So they know, but they're helping Krishna. They're helping Krishna bring out the different instructions. Again, there's so many instructions in this story of Vamanadeva and Bali Maharaj. So this is the point that is being mentioned here. The Prahlad Maharaj and Vindhyavali and Lord Brahma, they're saying, why don't you release him according to this calculation? And then Lord Vamanadeva is going to respond that, I have my reasons for doing it. Of course, Krishna accomplishes many things at the same time. But his main purpose is to is to glorify the devotee. In fact, he's going to be his gatekeeper. In one in the purport, I think it was at the last verse of the previous chapter. I think I mentioned this in the verse I gave, because it said that Vamanadeva was saying that he was going to be punished. And it was in Niraya, he's going to go to hell. He's going to suffer hellish punishment. So he doesn't, of course. That may be the punishment for some kind of breaking of some rule of karmakanda. But he didn't get punished for that. He got rewarded, actually, being sent to Sutala, which is a subterranean heavenly planet, was a reward. It wasn't a punishment, especially because the Lord is there to protect his devotee. And in that purport, for that verse, it was mentioned that one time Ravana came there and Krishna kicked him away. Lord Vamanadeva kicked him away. So the Lord fulfilled his promise and he was there. And then now Bali Maharaj is getting the Lord's darshan every day there on Sutala Loka. So it's a great, it shows the character of Bali Maharaj that he was able to attain the constant association of the Lord as a result of this great pastime. So I'll read the verse again. I'll just read these three translations. Lord Brahma said, O well-wisher and master of all living entities, O worshipable deity of all the demigods, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, now this man has been sufficiently punished, for you have taken everything. Now you can release him. He does not deserve to be punished more. Bali Maharaj had already offered everything to your lordship. Without hesitation, he has offered his land, the planets, and whatever else he earned by his pious activities, including even his own body. By offering even water, newly grown grass, or flower buds at your lotus feet, those who maintain no mental duplicity can achieve the most exalted position within the spiritual world. This Bali Maharaj, without duplicity, has now offered everything in the three worlds. How then can he deserve to suffer from arrest? So, of course, this point of Brahma's is so important. If you can be satisfied with just a flower, he gave you the whole three worlds, so why can't you be satisfied? Of course, the Lord was satisfied. Any questions? Comments? Yes, Prabhu.
You won't be able to stay anywhere for more than 3 days.
Yeah.
And Prabhupada compared that to himself. He said, I've been cursed by the parents of my disciples, so I can't stay anywhere.
Yeah.
So sometimes Krishna removes things, but sometimes he also gives it. Like Ramananda Roy, when Maharaj Pratapudra found out that he was going to go with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he doubled his pension.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes these things happen to devotees.
Of course, the devotee sees if Krishna takes or gives away, it's all the same for the devotee. He sees it all as Krishna's mercy. Krishna's doing everything perfectly right. I remember on a morning walk one time, some devotee was asking something. It was a philosophical question. But it was something like, why does Krishna, and it sounded like a little bit accusatory in the devotee's voice. And Prabhupada said, that you do not ask. It's like, you don't challenge Krishna. So the devotee's heart is, whatever Krishna does, that's perfect. That's the right thing. Whether he takes or gives away, that's the right thing to do, because he knows everything. He can't make any mistakes. Mother Akuti? Well, duplicity means we're not honest with Krishna, you'd say. Are we sincere? I guess this word comes up often. It really, duplicity is the opposite of sincerity. Maybe not in a dictionary, but in our understanding. Sincere means you really want to serve Krishna. Duplicity can also mean you have some other motive. You don't really want pure devotional service. You want something else. Even in our movement, there are so many side benefits. We live with the whole culture of Krishna consciousness is very enjoyable. We have nice food and nice association and good friends and so on. So if that's the only thing that's attractive to us in Krishna consciousness, then that's really, maybe we have a problem there. Our goal is supposed to be pure devotional service. We're supposed to be wanting to serve Krishna, wanting to serve the Vaishnavas. So that's, you can say, duplicity is having those material desires. Because we're appearing as Vaishnavas, Prabhupada called us pure devotees. What does that mean? That means at least we understand that the goal is pure devotional service, and that's what we're aspiring for. So if we're maintaining material attachments, the tenth offense against chanting the holy name, then that's duplicitous. Of course, that's an aparad. And if you chant without giving up the aparads, then you don't make advancement, or the advancement is very, very slow. One time Prabhupada said, there was that group of devotees in Hawaii, who their philosophy was sort of, well, just chant, that's all, you don't have to follow any rules, because if you just keep chanting, then eventually you'll start following the rules. Which sounds okay, in one sense, we just encourage people to chant, but you do have to follow the rules, and fairly quickly if you want to get anywhere. So Prabhupada challenged that. He said they will take 300 lifetimes to make any advancement if this is their process. So you have to do more than just chant. You have to chant without offense. So though that offense is a kind, offenses are a kind of duplicity, you can say, to maintain, to cherish our desires. They become like part of us. We think, oh, I can never give that up. So this is, you have to give it up. Give up everything. Sarvaswatma nivedane. As Bali Maharaj, body, mind, and words surrender to the lotus feet of the Lord. That's aviklavaya, by without duplicity. Madamati?
Sometimes it seems that Krishna is, you know, hard-hearted, like in this situation, he tied up Bali Maharaj. And I was thinking that, actually, yeah, like you explained so nicely that how he's not, he's actually glorifying Bali Maharaj. And it helped me understand Krishna's, how Lord Ram acted with Mother Sita. It seemed like he was hard-hearted, and she proved that she was chaste to him, and yet he banished her in the forest. So, but that not only, that just glorified Mother Sita, that even in that situation she was, you know, surrendered to Lord Ram. So,
when Krishna puts devotees through tribulations, then it brings out their glorious quality. That happens often in his exchanges with his devotees. All right, we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.